Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are getting an update from Mavericks Metals, traded on the TSX under the symbol MMX, also on the NYSE under the same symbol, MMX. We are chatting with the president of Mavericks Metals, Ryan McIntyre. Now, Ryan, let's start off by recapping news that came out June 29th. It's a royalty portfolio acquisition from Pan American. Total of 6 royalties and the payment, both shares and cash. You had to issue a little bit over 491,000 shares and $7 million in cash. Ryan, just bring us through kind of a high-level overview of what attracted you to this royalty portfolio, and out of the 6 royalties, which ones do you want to highlight for us?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Yeah, so this is the second portfolio acquisition we've done from Pan American Silver, who are obviously a pretty large shareholder of Mavericks as well. And, you know, I think one of the great things about this portfolio is that it really complements, you know, our existing cash flow and development pipeline that we already have with all of our royalties and streams. So these are six royalties, basically gold and silver focused in the Americas, sort of right down our strike zone. And so out of the 6, you've got 2 projects. You've got the Fenn Gib project, where it's a 1-2.5% royalty, and the Juby project, which is a 1% royalty. So you've got 2 projects in Canada with each over 2 million ounces of resources on each of them. So you've got a great existing resource base there in a great jurisdiction in Ontario. And, you know, we've got some partners there, you know, Mayflower Gold in relation to Fenn Gib and Aris Gold in relation to Juby, who are really starting to put some big drilling dollars into the ground there and drill that out further. So we see a lot of good upside there. The third one I'll talk about is a 3% royalty on this property called Recuperata, which is actually currently producing at a small scale in anticipation of ramping up to a larger scale. So we've got a 3% royalty there, and we hope that to be paying very soon. So that's good. And then one probably that's worth mentioning as well is the Hernandez royalty. So we acquired a 2.5% royalty on this project called Hernandez, which is operated by First Majestic. And it's very early stage, but what really attracted us to it is its very large land package situated right between Silvercrest's Las Chispas project, which is currently being developed, and First Majestic's Santa Elena mine, which is obviously producing. And so it's got a great land package there and obviously a pretty sizable royalty. So pretty keen to see what comes out of that one.
Yeah, Ryan, it's really interesting when you've been able to do these big packages at Mavericks with key, you know, companies that are stakeholders in Mavericks, but you're also picking up a pipeline of projects that they've been holding in their stable for a long time at a good time in the market where, like you mentioned with Aris and Mayfair, they're finally, you know, moving forward and getting more active on that. But you're also getting into some of these projects before they're really noticed as much by the market. So there's all that. This is the great part about the royalty model, and maybe you can speak to that, is that you're able to get in a project with somebody like a First Majestic before they put a ton of drill rigs on it and really build it into something more substantial. And maybe you could walk people just as an example through that Hernandez royalty and how significant that is relative to where First Majestic is working and relative to where Silvercrest is working.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the key for anything, you know, when you make an investment is, you know, what could the return potential be and what are the risks? And, you know, to get something this early stage is certainly risky in a way, but on the other hand, you know, we're not paying much for it. And if it does work out, it's going to be an absolute home run. And, you know, you just look at that whole jurisdiction there where you've got, you know, First Majestic mining at Santa Elena, you've got this great Silvercrest Las Chispas project, which is under development. So two great, great mining centers there. And this thing's kind of right in the middle of both of those. So easily trucking distance to either one of their plants. And so, you know, we look at it, we're like, oh, the geology is definitely there. It's very logical that this thing could come into production and go to either one of those two processing centers, whether it's First Majestic or relation to Silvercrest. And so, you know, we look at it, we're thinking, wow, this thing hits, going to be absolutely huge, and we'll have gotten it for not much. So it's all about that risk return dynamic there. And I think the one great thing about royalties in general too is that it's just this huge amount of optionality, and that's optionality on exploration success, and also in our case, sort of silver and gold, which what we expect to come out of this property eventually. So, and beautiful thing about the royalty business is, you know, once you put the capital in first, there's no more payments after that. So we sort of ride free forever.
So Ryan, a little bit more color too on this Recuperata asset that is being run by Silver X Mining. That one stands out just because the stage that it's in is actually operating rather than exploration as to all of the other royalty acquisitions in that portfolio. Plus, it's a 3% NSR. Now, this Recuperata project, it's a large asset here. What insights can you give us in terms of the operation that's ongoing there and what this royalty gives you the exposure to for that mining?
Well, it's in a great jurisdiction. So Recuperata is located in Peru, and it's operated by and owned by a company called Silver X. And Silver X's goal with this asset is actually, so now they're doing some trial mining. It's a past producing mine. And so they're basically getting, a tighter delineation of what the ore body is to suss out what the plans are in terms of, you know, mining rate and obviously profitability. And so that's what they're doing now, is sort of the trial part of it. And right now they've got mill capacity of about 600 tons per day. But when you look at what they're doing there, what their plans are, I mean, they're looking at the potential to multiply that throughput rate by several fold. And so that they're looking to do that over the next several years. And, you know, it's such a large land package as well. And that's the other thing that drew us to it. You know, so we've got a 3% royalty on the package. And, you know, it's huge land and good jurisdiction, past producer. And you've got people that are looking to move it forward pretty aggressively. So those are all the right ingredients for us to see when something is in that stage.
Ryan, also just one quick comment on the Juby project that Aris Gold is working on. You know, this is one of the interesting things about royalty companies too, and how sometimes bringing in a stronger operator can really change the game. Previously, it was held by Caldas Gold, who was struggling as a company. And so the odds of that getting worked as quickly and efficiently and hitting in this cycle were much lower. But with the advent of Aris Gold taking over Caldas and having a stronger operator come in, you could apply that same kind of point to a lot of the royalties that you have in your portfolio, where you initially start with a project where the operator may not be as solid, but then a larger company comes in with a stronger financial backing, and suddenly that royalty is now sitting in strong hands. So maybe you could speak to just that nature of the royalty business and how these things can really grow with upside without any more work on your side.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly it. I mean, you know, if you look at our whole portfolio, so we've got, in total, we've got 121 royalties and streams now, and 13 of them are paying. So we have 108 there that are kind of in the background where, you know, owners are doing work on them, adding value to them every year that goes by. But, you know, we have no additional cost to contribute. So from that standpoint, it's exactly what you want, because, you know, anyone knows in exploration or even in development, you know, some things move faster, some things move slower. And to me, you need to have a diversified portfolio, which we're lucky enough to have. But yeah, with this Juby project where we're acquiring a 1% royalty, you know, it's already got 2.3 million ounces in the ground, great jurisdiction. And actually one of its nearest neighbors is the Côté Lake deposit, which IM Gold is currently developing. And I think that speaks to one of those situations where, you know, prior to IM Gold acquiring that project, it was in the hands of a junior. And, you know, this has that type of scale, obviously great infrastructure in the area. And so it's got all the right elements. And I think once a little bit more drilling is done on the Juby project, I think people will become, larger players will become more attracted to it. And obviously that is the type of thing you'd want to see, is we would like to push through to development and therefore into production. So it's got a lot of the right signatures there.
All right, so Ryan, one more quick update here, just following up on the July 6th news. That's an asset update from four assets in total. You already touched on the Côté project here, but we also saw the asset updates from the Beta Hunt property, Enchi asset, as well as Silvertip. You did touch on Silvertip too. Give us a quick little update here on some of the progress in these assets, please.
Yeah, sure. I guess probably the biggest news is just in relation to Beta Hunt. You know, about a week or so ago, Karora Resources announced an expansion to double mining rates at Beta Hunt, where we have a 4.75% gold royalty. And when you try to switch that into what does that mean for Mavericks at that type of throughput rate increase, you know, we're talking about a 10% add to our revenue just on that. And so Karora is going to be doing that expansion over the next several years. So we'll be benefiting pretty immediately, actually, as it's going to be done in stages. And so that's obviously pretty big news for us. The next one probably worth talking about is the Kone project. And this is a project that Montage Gold has been moving forward very quickly. We've got a 2% royalty on it. They just released a preliminary economic assessment in May. And that showed that our royalty, that 2% royalty, would actually generate almost $100 million over its life at a gold price that's $200 less than what currently is at spot today. Just gives you a sense of how large that could be. And the thing about that thing is that they have a great team there at Montage Gold. It's a lot of the former people who were at Redback Mining that was sold to Kinross. They developed the Tasiast project. And so they're really, they have a good lay of the land in West Africa there, and they actually held this project in that company back in the day. And so they've been moving through resource updates very quickly. New ones expected in Q3. I think they've got the feasibility coming out in Q4, and they actually expect to complete permitting in the first half of 2022. So you can tell, you know, these are really serious players who are operating this asset and really intent on driving it forward. So really excited about that one. And probably the last one worth touching on is Silvertip. And so we've got a royalty on this, and it's actually an underground mine that was in production, but was put on care and maintenance by Coeur Mining about a year and a bit ago, just as things were turning down. You had, you know, lead and zinc prices going down like every other commodity at the time during the COVID sort of crisis. But so what Coeur did is they actually put the mine on pause, and they actually started drilling a lot over that past year. And what they're now looking at is potential at a 75% expansion to what they had previously envisaged. So what makes that interesting for us is obviously the royalty is going to be basically 75% larger if they assume to go with the expansion. And based on the resource update that they produced just a few months ago and some of the intermittent updates we get, it looks very promising. And so I guess when we look at it, we think it looks extremely economic and viable to go for the expansion. But that being said, we do have to wait for Coeur to make that decision, but could be quite meaningful to Mavericks in terms of probably something of the order of another kind of 7 to 8% addition to our revenue base. So clearly meaningful and pretty near term.
Yeah, Ryan, that could be pretty exciting. I'm actually, in full disclosure, a shareholder of Coeur as well as Mavericks. So I'm rooting for both you guys on that Silvertip asset. But maybe you could just bring us up to speed as far as what you expect the rest of 2021 to look like and what investors should pay attention to as far as upcoming news flow. Are there any other big acquisitions in the work, or will there be some operation updates from some of your development stage companies getting closer to production? Just give us a roadmap of what you expect for the balance of the year.
Yeah, so it's a bit of both. So a bit of hopefully we'll have some positive news on the organic growth side. So given that we have 108 royalties and streams that aren't currently paying, we obviously expect some pretty big news out of Kone in the back half of the year. And then there's also the Camino Rojo royalty. So the Camino Rojo project should actually be in production in Q4 this year. And we're expecting that to add another kind of 6 to 7% to our current revenue base. So that'll produce first gold in Q4. And then I guess on the M&A front, we're obviously always looking for new acquisitions in the royalty and streaming space with clearly a gold focus, gold silver focus. And hopefully we'll get a few announcements out in relation to potential deals, but timing is always tough to call on those things, but we're pretty busy.
All right, Ryan, I appreciate the update. There is a lot of news coming out of Mavericks, and you guys have a lot of royalties. As you mentioned, 121 royalties with 13 paying assets. Sounds like the acquisition train is going to continue here. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will bring Ryan back on to address those questions and also follow up on some more news when it hits the market. Ryan? Thank you for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for having me, too.